All too often, we as Christians tend to align our thinking on issues of marriage and sexuality by the way the culture sees them, and we forget that the culture is blinded by Satan when it comes to the issues of life. Instead, the church is called to reject the godless thinking of the culture and to pursue a biblical understanding of marriage and sexuality. Hi. I'm Conroy Lewis, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Syracuse, New York, your radio pastor for the day. And I'd like to take a few moments to share with you what the Bible teaches about singleness and marriage. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the church has written to the Apostle Paul about the questions regarding marriage and singleness and divorce. And he uses this chapter to answer their questions one by one. And he lays out for us four principles to help them navigate this complicated issue. The first principle he lays out here is that it is good to be single. It's good to be single. He tells us in verse 1, "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman." This is euphemism for remaining single. He says it again several times throughout the chapter. In verse 8, he says, "To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am." In verse 27, he says, "Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife." It's good to be single. Here's a second principle he gives us. It is good to be married. It's good to be married. In verse 2, he says, "But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband." Paul is giving a command. It's an imperative here. He says, "Get married. Men, go and find a wife. Ladies, go and find a husband. Stop pretending to be someone you're not. If you don't have the gift of singleness, don't fall into the mold of the culture that tells us that fornication is no big deal. Get married so that you can be pleasing to the Lord." Here's a third principle he gives us. He tells us intimacy in marriage is vital. He tells us in verse 3, "The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." In other words, Paul is saying that intimacy is a debt that is owed to each other within marriage. And he says the only time we should abstain from sexual intimacy is when it's mutual and for a spiritual purpose. If it's one-sided and selfish, then it becomes a form of robbery or defrauding one another. Here's number 4, the final principle that Paul gives us is that God empowers people for singleness or marriage. He says in verse 7, "I wish that all were as I myself am, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another." He tells us also in verse 38, "So then he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better." In other words, both marriage and singleness are gifts from a loving and faithful God. If you have the privilege and the gift of being married and you get to experience the joy and the gift of physical intimacy within marriage, praise God. But if you have the gift of singleness and you have the joy of focusing all of your energy on serving God, that's great. Whichever gift you have should be enjoyed and used to the glory of God. Don't try to be someone you're not or pretend to have a gift that you don't have. May God help us as we pursue a life of holiness that is pleasing to Him, whether it's through marriage or singleness. I'm Conroy Lewis, pastor of Grace Baptist Church, your radio pastor for the day.